huddle up.
66 HitchX Vegas Flair. I'm one ready.
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby. Boom.
Hardest hits. Boom. And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
A week 5 edition of Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3 at the City Place Studios here in downtown West Palm Beach. My name is Colin Russo. Joined across the stage, across the glass, Cade Chumsland, of course, as always. It's Hard Rock Bet presented... Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. You heard it, though. It's the first few weeks of the season. They've finally played out. It's time to try your first bet on Hard Rock Bet. Maybe you're like Miami. Things haven't really come out as you'd expected throughout the year so far. But if you don't win your first bet on Hard Rock Bet, you get a backup and you get up back to $100 on your second chance on that second bet. Each game, you can bet on the touchdown scores, passing yards, other stats, total points, who will win, and much more. Go check it out on Hard Rock Bet. You can also bet on college football, other sports. It's not just exclusive to the NFL. Ton of options. They have so many different routes and different reasons you could go to go get involved in the sportsbook over at Hard Rock Bet. If you don't want to bet a ton of money, you can try a parlay. The more you bet and the more bets you combine in the parlay, the bigger your potential payout. If you only bet a small amount, bets can just start at $1. Week 1, a Florida bettor went 16 for 16. Got $104,000 in winnings off a $15 bet. 16 for 16. Got every single game right on Hard Rock Bet. That is an incredible turnaround, I'll tell you that. I don't even know what I'd do with that type of money. But that happened in Florida. That's on Hard Rock Bet. There's so many different types of parlays. Go check it out. It's the brand new type of parlay for them. If you're not sure what to bet, Hard Rock Bet on our Discover app can show you the most popular parlays, props, and picks that other people are betting from across the app as well. So you could jump in with what other people think are hot or what other people think are cold, too. That's on Hard Rock Bet. You could tail any trending bets so easily. All you got to do is download Hard Rock Bet on the App Store or Google Play Store or go online to hardrock.bet. Once again, try Hard Rock Bet now and get up to $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Your first bet can be a parlay, it can be a prop, over, more, whatever you like to bet, any game you choose. You either win your first bet or get the same back amount paid as a bonus bet. It's Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Now, a big theme with what is going on with the NFL has been how disastrous the last few weeks for the Miami Dolphins this has been. Not only from the perspective of losing your starting quarterback, losing the quarterback that you're paying $60 million a year to in Tua Tagovailoa on a concussion basis. He's going to be out until at least week 8 against Arizona. But it's a matter of even when he was out, there wasn't a viable backup, clearly, with whether this is Skylar Thompson or Snoof Huntley. What would you call it? The hypothesis, the experiment. And that didn't work. And on top of that, the team's just not playing hard. They've been terrible. And in a lot of ways, if the Dolphins didn't get lucky, and this is with Tua, if they didn't get lucky week 1 against the Jaguars and have that forced fumble by Javon Holland on the 3-yard line against Travis Etienne in the late third quarter to save their game, that team is very, it was very possible for that team to start 0-4. Of course, last week on Monday Night Football, they got thrashed by the Titans, even without their starting quarterback, 31-12. The week before that, 24-3 to the Seahawks, 31-10 to the Bills. That's a pretty bad stretch, 3-game stretch of games for the Miami Dolphins, Cade.
Cheers, mate.
Good morning.
Dolphins are not looking good, mate.
They're not.
The Dolphins, they need to find an offensive identity. We all talked about in the offseason how many weapons they had across the board. They seemed so deep everywhere.
Even defense, too. Just like star power.
But now we don't even know where they want to go with the football.
Yeah.
They can't pass the ball. They can't run the ball. And honestly, while their defense has been allowing a lot of points, they're technically sixth in the NFL in yards allowed with only 273. That's how pitiful this offense has been. Now, thankfully, there is still hope when you have all of these weapons, right? We've seen Snoop Huntley do great things with past teams. The Baltimore Ravens, he obviously had a few good runs there, and with others as well.
He's capable of success.
So I'm not going to just say that the Dolphins' offensive firepower is completely going to be disheveled the rest of the year, right? They've got a nice game in New England today at 1 o'clock against the Patriots, who also we've seen not really having a great year of their own. I mean, no. I think it's better than what most people were saying they were going to have. So I think there's a lot to glean from the Patriots season as well. But this is your game to get back if you're the Dolphins. This is one where you can get your fan base back. This is one where you can actually see some success on the offensive side of the ball and maybe get some hope before the end of the year.
The Dolphins are in a position here where they go into the bye after this week, and then they got the Colts. And I believe the first game Tua could come back is October 27th, home against the Cardinals. And if the Dolphins, for some reason, drop these next two games and Tua comes back at 1-5, that's a pretty steep uphill battle it's going to be to even get back to mediocrity in the scale of the NFL. And I don't know if the Dolphins are, number one, good enough for that, but I don't think it's fair. You can't go 1-5 and then thrust your starting quarterback who might have brain damage back out there and hope that he could string together a couple wins and sneak you guys into around 500 playoff bid. At this point, I think the Dolphins are in very choppy waters and it's very thin ice, teetering on the line of the season's almost lost. I'm leaning on the side of I put a lot of this blame on Mike McDaniel. I don't think the team has played that hard, and they just don't look unprepared. And when everything's not going right for Mike McDaniel in terms of health, in terms of vibe, in terms of the team playing well, big plays, that gimmicky offense, getting some chunk plays, then Mike McDaniel seems like the man. Seems like, oh, this is a fun coach. He's got a ton of personality. He's good with the media. He gives good answers. The fun offense, a lot of players. It's Miami. Flashy. And then all of a sudden, when the quarterback's out and Tua, and they're struggling, he looks miserable out there. It's not even like the blind optimism that you could see in some types of coaches that are, you know, through hell or high water or sitting there with a big smile, getting fired up. He just looks disinterested is not the right word, but that's what comes to mind.
He's got one facial expression.
And he just stares openly, yeah, blankly onto the field. It's very strange. And to me, I'm not in the locker room. I understand that. But I think that reflects a little bit into the play on the field. They're playing uninterested.
You're not watching. You know the Minnesota Gophers head coach? I'm forgetting
PJ
his name
Fleck
right now. He comes into the locker room after a win and just loses his mind when they win a big team. Shout out to my Minnesota Gophers who took down number 11 USC yesterday. This is not a team that has anyone, or at least it seems like from the outside. Again, we're not in the locker rooms right now. That has anyone trying to get this team fired up.
Yeah.
And Colin,
you need to be able to harness your energy somewhere.
Colin, you asked me, I think it was 2 weeks ago, what should happen with the whole Tua situation, whether he should come back. You were asking my opinion on the whole thing. It has changed since then. I have no problem necessarily with Tua coming back, but it shouldn't be for this season. I think the Dolphins should tell Tua, listen, the season's gone. The rest of the league is too good. We have too hard of a schedule. You're going to come too late in the season if you want to come play. Just take the year off, really get better, and we can try to start this whole thing over again next year. Pull a complete New York Jets, wash the whole season, go get a good draft pick, go get someone else on the defensive line.
Reset a bit.
Reset and bring Tua in fresh to go for 2025. Because it's clear he wants to play, and I don't think anyone's going to stop him. But this year, with how good the Bills are looking, with how good the rest of the AFC and NFC are looking, it's almost impossible for this team to start off the way they have in order to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Cardinals, I think that's the game that he's going to be coming back for. That's a pretty good 1-3 team, in my opinion. So you got the Cardinals, you got the Bills, and you got the Rams, three straight right when Tua comes back. Not an easy schedule. Two of them on the road with the at Buffalo and at LA. So not only are you already behind the eight ball in a sense of this, you're going to be pushing this boulder up quite a steep uphill, But it's a matter of, is it even worth it, to your point? Is it even worth it to stick Tua out there in harm's way in a lot of senses, fresh off a concussion, and see if something can happen? Now, the one thing is, I don't know if Miami has the team around them, whether it's players. You know, there's a lot of star players on that team that are expecting to win. And all of a sudden, if they, not the right word, I don't like the word, but if they tank, will those players stay happy? Will they want to stick around? Will there be some desire to still play in Miami? And will Mike McDaniel or the front office survive? So there's a lot of questions. My interpretation is all of them probably will, in terms of Chris Greer, the general manager, Mike McDaniel, the head coach. You know, this is a Stephen Ross thing, and he's been fairly loyal. I think he'd be okay, because I think people like McDaniel down there. But to me, I think you got to look long and hard at what type of team Mike McDaniel is fielding every week. Because, yeah, you might not be out. You might be out talented at the quarterback position. Of course, that could lose you the game. But it's more than that. They are unmotivated. They don't play with any sort of fire or passion. At least, the least you could do is play hard. The least you could do.
We talk about teams having their way, right? Whether or not they have the personnel on the field, they're going to have a way of playing football. The Steeler way is taking your head off every single week, no matter who's on the field. The Packer way is having a decent offense, no matter who's at quarterback. There are teams that have an aura around them of playing hard, gritty football. That's not Miami right now. And I haven't honestly seen it in Miami for a long time. It's been more of a finesse style football where it's almost more like an art.
Which is what they like, but it doesn't travel. And it's not, it doesn't go without the quarterback.
Eventually, you're going to get hit in the mouth. And yeah, they have so far, and they haven't been able to hit back.
Seattle, another team that always sort of brings it.
Yes.
That was a good example with the Steelers. They might stink, but they're going to bring it. That, to me, is the type of team that Miami's going to have to be here. Down 1-3 at New England today. It's a 1 o'clock on Fox. Both teams sitting at 1-3. I would give the Patriots the edge in this one. Just off of the fact that we mentioned, the Patriots have looked better despite bad losses than the Dolphins have. That's how bad the Dolphins' losses have been. I would say maybe the other Jacksonville. And Jacksonville played pretty well last week. Dolphins will look like the worst team in the NFL.
They're definitely saying it on the offensive statistics. They've only been having just over 11 points per game. That's 32nd in the NFL.
Terrible. And they escaped that first game. That team is very close. They edged out of being 0-4. Dolphins got a lot of issues, but I think the positive is if you could put together one win, and then all of a sudden you're 2-4 when Tua comes back, You're not dead. You're not dead. You're not in good shape, but you're not dead.
Do you think
if you're 1-5, you're in a lot of trouble?
Both of these next games are winnable. Patriots and Colts. If Snoop Huntley can play with the dual threat style that he's known for playing with, because Huntley can run when he wants to, right? If Miami can hone that and really put some points on the board, I think their defense is strong enough. Bring Tua back at 3-3. Depending on what the Jets and Bills have done by then, maybe there's a chance. But I'll tell you what, Colin, these last six games of the season, if you really want to look down the schedule, I think are the hardest in the entire NFL. At Green Bay on Thanksgiving night, hosting the Jets. At Houston, hosting the 49ers. At Cleveland, at New York Jets again to end the season.
Yeah, not good. They cannot be happy about that. So, if there's a positive to string together from the Dolphins, this is the time to put something together. And that better be the words on the whiteboard in that facility is we have to win one of the next two, preferably both. We have to. If we don't, we are done. Screwed. That should be Mike McDaniel. This should be one of the best games the Dolphins ever played today. But I don't think they will.
Now, Colin,
but if there's a positive to put together, I would say it's that.
I have to throw this out there, though, because a huge viral clip just came out of Deion Sanders and the Miami Dolphins. and Shador Sanders and him working in some word magic to potentially make that happen.
Did Deion say something about Shador going to Miami?
Yes, he went on to what's the podcast with Ocho Cinco and Shannon
Sharp?
Oh, the
Nightcap.
Yes, he went on to that podcast. He explained how Miami is an amazing place to play, explained kind of the process for Tua. If they let him play one more time, he could get hurt one more time. He didn't necessarily say it out loud that I want Shador in Miami.
But was insinuating it.
He was giving these little hints. And then finally, Ocho Cinco said, if that happened, then you could see Shador in Miami. And Deion's like, well, now you finally figured that out. I mean, basically said
wow.
that he would love to see Shador in Miami. Is it possible, or is it plausible even, for having the Miami Dolphins again wait on Tua in order to possibly get Shador and the full support of Deion Sanders?
Well, the problem is, the one problem with Deion is Deion's just going to be lobbying for the next 8 months. He's going to find three teams that he likes, and he's just going to continuously lobby for his son to get hired there. But the problem is, drafted. Tua just signed a $220 million contract with a lot of money guaranteed. 4 year, $212 million for Tua Tagovailoa. What are you going to do with that? This is year one is next year. A lot of the cap hit starts next year. $39 million cap hit, then the year after that, $56.4 million in 2026. Then 2027, 2028, it's $53 and $65. If the Dolphins want to look introspectively here, is the quarterback the biggest problem? No. It's the offensive line. It's the coaching. But I understand. People want splash factor. And I'm sure Deion wants his kid to play with Tyreek and a bunch of stars and Jalen Waddle and A-Chain. It's easy. But I don't know. The Dolphins have dug themselves into a hole here where all your eggs are in one basket at that position. You got to draft a viable backup in the fourth, fifth round. But the idea that they could afford to just go after the quarterback and just be done with it, I think it's a little much.
I agree with you, and I honestly think Travis Hunter is more of the Colorado player that the Dolphins should be looking at right now, having someone to lock down the outside, because I think we're all in agreement that if Travis Hunter, he wants to play both, right? But in all reality, more than likely, unless he absolutely kills it on both sides, he's more likely just going to play cornerback. And if you're the Dolphins right now, that's a position you desperately need in order to lock down the outside and hold your teams down while your offense can scrape as many points as possible.
Dolphins taking on the Patriots today at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. That's at a 1 o'clock slate. That should be an interesting one. Of course, it might be ugly, but it's going to be two teams that are looking to catch their footing a little bit after three-game skids apiece. And a divisional matchup, so comes out on top there. There's a London game tonight. That's why we have an early edition of Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. Colin Russo, Kate Chumsland, of course. A 9:30 a.m. kickoff on NFL Network. The Jets, technically, at the Vikings. And the Jets coming off one of the worst losses I've ever seen last week. 10-9 against the Denver Broncos. And the Vikings riding high at 4-0. Won at Lambeau last week. Is this a must win for the Jets? Hard to jump back from 2-3, especially in that division with the Bills right there. They're sitting at 2-2. Are the Vikings due to lose one? We'll get into that and more next at Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Rolling on here on an early edition of Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. 8 to 9:15, we got you. There's a London game today at 9:30, so we're going to be cut a little short. But it's Hard Rock Bet presented by... Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. Second time I've done that. Colin Russo, Kate Chumsland, of course, on ESPN 106.3 at the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Speaking of that Miami Dolphin, New England Patriot game today at 1 Join Bud Light and the ESPN West Palm Street team at Bonefish Max in Port St. Lucie today from 1 to 3. Watch the Miami Dolphins take on the New England Patriots, and you'll get a chance to win Bud Light prizes or qualify for Miami Dolphins tickets. Bonefish Max is going to have drink specials, including $15.99 buckets of Bud, Bud Light, and Michelob Ultra. You must be 21 or older to participate. Southern Eagle reminds you to please drink responsibly. We'll see you at Bonefish Max today, doing a great watch party for that Miami Dolphin New England Patriot game. Don't miss that. Should be a whole lot of fun, a lot of prizes to win, a lot of football to be watched. Shifting back to the other end of things, NFL Network 9:30 a.m. kick, the first of an international slate in Europe that's going to continue for the next month or so. The Jets, Vikings, technically a home game, I believe, for them, but it's at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London. Vikings riding high, 4-0. They won last week, 31-29. Scores closer than it actually was against the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau. And the Jets, of course, who were coming off two straight wins in a long week after a Thursday night football win over the New England Patriots, 24-3. The Jets drop one at MetLife in the rain to Bo Nix and company and the Denver Broncos, 10-9. Terrible, terrible loss for the New York Jets there. And a lot of people went after Sala, the head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Sala. And whether there was a Rodgers issue or a Robert Sala issue, and now the Jets are being floated as a team that could be a landing spot for Devontae Adams. Hassan Reddick, we still haven't seen him. The Jets have too many storylines that are not on the football field and too much distraction. Now, to that point, the Jets sitting at 2-2, I guess would call it a win now mode. And at a certain point, with the next three for the Jets being Vikings, Bills, at Steelers, then you got an at Patriots, then Texans. That's four of the next five are against probable playoff teams. At a certain point, the Jets could really fall behind here in terms of the standings, but in terms of mojo, vibe, and consistency, if they drop a couple of these games, the Jets need a win. And I wonder if this is the game where they need that win. And I know that Bills game, you got to look to split because it's at home. But in London, this might be a Jet home game they're losing. I'm not sure. But travel's going to be tight for both teams. It's sort of a toss-up on what team really will show up or if both will. But the Jets not only are in trouble, but nobody needs a win right now. There's a couple other teams. But in terms of the 2-2s, nobody needs a win right now more than New York Jets.
I disagree. I think the Jets have a little bit of time because this AFC conference as a whole, I know that made no sense after I said AFC, but anyways, it's weaker than we thought it was going to be. I genuinely thought more teams were going to be in more contention. Because if you look at the division, if you look at the division leaders, obviously you got the Bills, you got the Steelers right now, you got the Texans, and you got the Chiefs. But there's no other 3-1 teams right now in the AFC. The Jets are currently tied with the Ravens, the Colts, the Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos. And I'll be honest, the only team I'm taking too seriously out of that group is the Baltimore Ravens. The Chargers have definitely shown their weaknesses, and I don't think we're all ready to take seriously the Raiders, the Broncos, or the Colts. And the Bengals right now have played considerably under par than we expected them to. So when you think about three extra wild card spots in the AFC, I see the Ravens or the Steelers, depending on who wins that division. And then everything else is kind of in a toss-up right now. I think the Jets definitely have some time. Their schedule is ridiculous.
That's why I'm saying that. It's more of that they are in a tough spot because they got four of their next five games against good teams.
So all of those games as a whole are going to be important. But this game in particular is not necessarily a must-win game. If you want to get on a good streak, if you want to feel good about yourself, then you need to win this game. But from a numbers perspective, this is not a must-win game in Week 5 for the Jets. They just need to show that they are capable of winning in the future.
Because if I fast forward a week, and if the Jets have a Monday Night Football game home against the Bills next week, and the Bills are coming off a good win, looking to make a statement there, and the Jets are sitting at 2-3, coming off a bad loss against international travel against the Vikings, I think they're in some trouble. And all of a sudden you go at the Steelers the week after that on a short week on Sunday Night Football. To me, the Jets need to get their best foot forward. And I understand maybe they could afford it, but that's riding on the idea that they could win against the Bills in primetime, at Pittsburgh in primetime. The Texans, I think that's another primetime game. I think that's a Thursday night game, actually. So all of a sudden, the Jets are going to be not only on primetime, but against good teams that need the games. Coming off a travel like that, they're not getting their bye after this week, which is a standard for teams that go international. I think the Jets could be in some trouble. I think the Vikings, yes, you're sitting at 4-0. They've been playing as better. I'm done doubting them. So, of course, I would take the Vikings in this one. But in terms of needing a game, I think this would be quite an important one on their schedule to kind of steal. And you mentioned, you're right, of the 2-2s, a lot of them reside in the AFC West. Who would have thought? In the Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos. Chargers, in terms of talent, are probably the ones that could hang around the most, barring health. And of course, the Ravens are a very good 2-2 team. Colts, jury's still out on them. No Anthony Richardson with Joe Flacco. Are they going to be better with Joe Flacco? I think that's going to be a big question for today.
Jonathan Taylor out for this game as well.
But Joe Flacco, we saw it last week, can put together with a good head coach. He had Stefanski last year and Steichen this year. He could put together some wins. And the Colts have enough talent around where it might work. But in terms of the 2-2s, you're right. There's not a lot of viable options. And with the Bengals and the Browns sitting at 1-3, it's kind of hard to get a feel for that. But in terms of the Jets, stay above water. I think if they're drowning a bit and they're trying to get back to, you know, ground level, it's going to be a tricky battle with the schedule that they have. That's the one thing I'll say to that.
So you said something earlier in that monologue that you've kind of been on a roll of saying all year long, both on this show and when you're on Russo and Rizzo, which you can listen to from 4 to 6 weekdays right here on ESPN 106.3. You said that they don't necessarily, it's not need the win, but you say they don't necessarily,
they can't afford it.
Yeah, they can afford it though for the teams that are favored. Why can't those teams just go ahead and win those games and get ahead on their season? I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, the vibes I'm getting are that teams that can afford to lose aren't necessarily going to play harder than the teams that can't afford to lose.
I think you could flip it. I think I understand your point. When you could afford the loss, you don't play as desperate. And I don't think any team is as bad or as good as maybe they are on paper. And I think that the talent gap and the actual performance gap between the NFL teams is thinner than people would like to admit. I think when you play desperate, you saw it with the 0-2 teams in week 3. When you're playing desperate, and I don't think the Jets will play desperate today, but when you're playing desperate, it's hard to lose. And if you have a right head coach in there who can harness that, that's more of my theme. If they can afford the loss and they're playing a team that's desperate, I think that's more the philosophy behind whether they're going to play hard that day. I don't think like I said before, I'm not going to doubt the Vikings. They're prepared every week. They have a great defense. Their offense has been playing tremendous. They have a lot of talent. But when you're 4-0, I know it's a tough division, so they want to stay ahead. But in terms of affording the loss, you're not in any sort of trouble sitting at 4-1.
Because I think that kind of philosophy has been working, honestly, fantastic for the Kansas City Chiefs. But now we're seeing the Chiefs at 4-0 for the first time. I don't have the numbers right now, but the Chiefs have never started off this good in a very long time, especially now that they've been winning Super Bowls. It's kind of been a late streak for them.
And they've snuck to the 4-0 at that in terms of each and every game they've played.
But each one of those games, they could have easily taken off the gas pedal a little bit.
Yeah, they haven't. And so that's a question with the Chiefs, too. I mean, think about that. That Bengal game, they were in every position to lose. That was probably the closest one of all of them. The Raven game, they were a shoe size away from tying that up, and the Ravens probably would have went for two, whether they would have gotten it or not, of course, is a complete hypothetical. And the Falcons on that chance had the ball in the fourth quarter at the 5-yard line on a fourth down, and Kyle Pitts got essentially assaulted on and they didn't call the pass interference. And that would have given the Falcons a chance at the goal line in Atlanta with a couple minutes to go to take the lead. And the Chargers last week, who were winning 10-0 for the sizable portion of that first half. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. Nobody knows how to win more than the Chiefs. But I don't think it's far-fetched to admit, especially with losing Rashee Rice for a considerable amount of time, their starting wide receiver, that, I mean, we say this every year, so maybe I'm just preaching to the choir on this one, but they've escaped a number of these games here. And, of course, the Chiefs will continue to improve, but I think there's probably a time at some point where they're going to get caught a little bit.
I just don't necessarily completely agree. I think that there is a point to be made about how teams will play more aggressive and harder when they're desperate, right? We've been seeing it with the Falcons in games this year. When they become desperate at the very end of the games, for some reason, they look like the...
Turn it on.
They look like the best team offensively in the NFL. They just know how to drive down the team. They looked like the greatest show on turf.
Give Cousins some credit. That's my guy right there.
That's what he does. As soon as
every game.
Apparently when crunch time comes, that's when his mojo starts getting on. I just don't know if we as a show, and Lord knows I've been doing horrible in game picks this year, but to say that a team is desperate, I'm not sure is going to give them the complete advantage when it comes to these games.
Right, and I know with our picks, especially with my picks, I rely a lot on theme, and I rely a lot on, like, what's the story going into the game and who's going to play harder than others. I probably do it more than I should. I don't do it based off the sheer numbers, but I like that. I like the story attached to the game. And in terms of the actual context of the season, circling back to the Jets, I think the Jets need the win, number one, coming off a bad loss, just off the idea of that, the basis of that this was a terrible loss, can we bounce back? But also to the basis of, hey, we can't fall to 2-3 with two tough games coming up, one of which at home against one of the better teams in the NFL, the other which on the road in a tough playing environment in Pittsburgh. Now, granted, in terms of the team who's probably played best in the NFL, it's probably Minnesota. And they're playing that team today in London. To that point, London has always been a crapshoot.
There is no way to understand how teams play in London.
Always a crapshoot. Time difference, timing of the game, where they play, travel schedule, coming off what? Do they have to bye after this week? Those are all things that come into consideration when teams go to London. I've seen it. Jacksonville, you could have the worst team to ever field a football, ever play football in Jacksonville. They'll go to London and they're a completely different team. It's very strange. So just off of that alone in London, I think that sort of uncertainty leans in the Jets' favor.
That's probably why this line right now on Hard Rock Bet is -2.5 in favor of
because,
the Vikings.
Because that uncertainty of we don't know, the Vikings are traveling farther and we don't really know what type of team is going to show up and how they travel, that uncertainty doesn't make the Jets favored, but it evens the line a little bit in terms of the Jets actually being competitive in this game. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I 100% would. And you're looking at the leadership of Aaron Rodgers. You're looking at a little bit more experience kind of overall.
Closer.
On that Jets line.
Coming off a bad loss.
Absolutely.
So in terms of that's theme. In terms of theme, now, watch the Jets lose 31-0 today. Like, watch them get absolutely killed. But in terms of creating a theme here, that is why I think the Jets not only need it, but I think they'll play pretty well.
Listen, you're 2-0 right now. Mets and Yankees won yesterday, so...
Theme. Theme. Also, there's mojo in New York. I think that has something to do with it.
You said it on Russo and Rizzo. I heard
did.
You.
Mojo in New York. Maybe it's contagious. The Mets and the Jets have always been synonymous. The Yankees and the Giants have sort of been on the other side of the ball. But with the Mets playing as magic like that, is that going to carry over to what we're seeing with the Jets? Probably not. That's probably a stupid comparison. But New York mojo, that little brother franchise in New York, is it time to prove something?
At some point, I want to see one of these feeling picks come right. Because you've been saying it all year. I've got a feeling about this one. I've got something
about this
team.
You know what I had a feeling on? Navy Air Force. 34-7, the spread was -10 on Hard Rock Bet. And I took it -10, 34-7.
Listen, punchline picks college-wise, you guys are all over it this year. You got the Navy one.
We got Ohio State yesterday.
You had Ohio State
Toledo
yesterday.
Toledo we got yesterday.
In a whole entire weekend, I know we're getting a little off track here, but a whole entire weekend of upsets, you guys nailed your punchline picks on college football right now. We're going to see. NFL is looking a little tricky for you guys as those are tied up right now on, theoretically speaking, and Russo and Rizzo.
A big component of teams traveling and making sure that they could show up week in and week out and sort of feel that desperation is a good head coach. Is a motivating head coach, a leader of men, so to speak. Cade and I are going to draft the NFL head coaches back and forth. Which head coaches would you rather have next at Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3?
Buffoon Orbit Topper, 19 Uber Jailbreak, Ralph Chowder.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Draft time for Sunday Huddle on, presented by Hard Rock Bet here at the City Place Studios in West Palm Beach. Colin Russo, Cade Chumsland, of course, on ESPN 106.3. Once a week, we'll do a draft. This week, it's going to be the leader of the locker room, the leader of the men, the head coaches, serpentine style. Five total on the team each. We'll draft through best head coaches. Top 10, I think, might be in the same crop, but I think the order is what will get interesting. Last week, we did the wide receivers. Of course, I started that one. Cade will start this one. Cade, are you ready to rock and roll?
Let's do it, Colin. Are we ready to go?
Yeah, you got it. You start us off.
Sounds good. So last week, I think we had a pretty obvious one. Justin Jefferson started us off with the wide receivers, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to start us off with a pretty obvious one. Here for head coaches, give me Andy Reid, Colin.
Andy Reid, easy pick. Not even a question.
Now, it's where you go next with your two is going to be the interesting part.
I think an easy one, number one, is McVay. So I'm going to take that right there. I would take McVay. He's a winner. So the question is, how much do you value a Super Bowl here? McVay's won a recent Super Bowl, and he's been in another one. So I think McVay's an easy one, at least for somewhere between the two and three ranking. Now I've got a decision here. Do I go Kyle Shanahan, a guy who has been in the conference title game or more, what is it, four of the last 5 years or something like that? Something crazy.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And four of the last five. Super Bowl, conference championship, conference championship, and Super Bowl. Now, the other thing is, he lost them all. Or do you go somebody who has actually won one in John Harbaugh? To me, in terms of getting a team ready to play week by week with anybody, I'm going to go Shanahan.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the fact that you were already going John Harbaugh as hard and fast as that is a little surprising to me. I did a top 10 just to make sure I had 10 coaches before we started this whole thing, and you didn't even take number two. I'm taking Mike Tomlin.
You have Mike Tomlin as number two? I don't like the lack of postseason success recently is what deters me from him.
The fact that he's made it there, though. And let's be honest, he has not had quarterback play since Ben Roethlisberger.
No, and I understand that he's definitely in that, to me, the 6 or 7 range. But, you know, squeaking by with the 9-8 record or, you know, the 8-8 or the just over that, 10-6. He's had some great teams that did not do anything with Roethlisberger as well. I understand the pick. So you're going to go Tomlin.
I'm going to go Tomlin and then... A little bit of an underrated pick here. I'm going to go Matt LaFleur. I have been extremely impressed by the fact that he can take any quarterback that he has and make them be successful. They've always had a decent defense, and the Packers are just, it's literally a household name to be in the playoffs and be successful in the playoffs. Now, he hasn't gotten the chip yet, and let's be honest, I think a little bit of that was some... Not venom, but the locker room with Aaron Rodgers at the end of his time there in Green Bay, I don't think was good for the team as a whole. So now that he's afresh with Jordan Love, if Jordan Love can stay healthy, a Super Bowl I don't think is out of the cards for Matt LaFleur in the future.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur has struggled to get past the big one, even with Rodgers right there. That's the one thing about him. But granted, there's not a lot of Super Bowl winning head coaches playing or coaching right now in the NFL. So you went Andy Reid, I went McVay and Shanahan back-to-back. You went with Tomlin, and then now LaFleur. So this is our head coach's draft on Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. So shifting back to me, I guess he fell into my lap here, John Harbaugh.
Yeah, you can go ahead and have him.
I'm surprised you're not high on him. You know, he's always in the mix.
I'm high on him. He was like number seven on my list, but
he's won a Super Bowl.
He's won a Super Bowl, but again, another one of those guys who hasn't seemed to be able to win the big ones in recent years, right? He had an amazing run with Joe Flacco back in the day where they just kind of beat all of the odds to take over that one. But like when you've had Lamar Jackson be a two-time MVP, I mean, I can always think back to 2019. That should have been a runaway Super Bowl for the Ravens in that one after going 13-3. And then they lost divisional round to the number six Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, terrible loss, man. That's a lot on Lamar, too. But I understand the point. So I went McVay, Shanahan, John Harbaugh. I'm going to go in. So I went with the two offensive savants, my first two picks. John Harbaugh is more of that motivator, leader of the locker room. You know, they harness the energy, play in a big moment. Be in the moment. I'm going to go with another guy in that rant. Dan Campbell.
Yeah, very good pick.
Dan Campbell is a wild card. But there is no telling me that there is 70-plus percent of the teams in the NFL would take Campbell tomorrow to be their head coach. Campbell's a leader of men. He's a motivator. He's risky. He's entertaining. He's a personality. He did pretty well in the postseason, and he's in good shape this year to make another run. Dan Campbell is my fourth pick. So you got two more here, Cade.
Yes, sir. So for my fourth pick, I'm going to take someone that you could say all of those exact same words for this guy as well. Another young, another fiery head coach, defensive-minded, and
I have an idea where this is going.
You can probably figure out where this is going for me, Colin. I'm taking D'Amico Ryans. I'm taking the guy who has taken the Houston Texans out of the depths of whatever hell they were in and now has made them potential Super Bowl contenders. He's a leader of men. You can back him. He's a type of guy that just gets you amped up for a game, but he's also someone that I feel like is also going to encourage you no matter where you're at in life. I'm taking D'Amico Ryans at four, and this is probably my hardest pick is where I go with five. Because the last two guys, so far we've taken the top eight on my initial top 10. So we're doing great right now on where we are as far as these top head coaches go in the NFL. But I'm stuck with the Kevins right now and Kevin Stefanski and Kevin O'Connell. And last year I was very impressed with Stefanski. The fact that he was able to take, I think it was four different quarterbacks and get the Browns as one of the best teams in the NFL. Not deep into the postseason. Obviously they lost in round one. But the fact that he made them there, made them a team of contention. He's struggling right now, but I think the poison is in the quarterback. I am going to take Kevin Stefanski as my final pick.
I'm surprised by that pick.
Really? Coach of the year last year?
Yeah, I mean, Dable won it 2 years ago. Like, so I don't put a ton of stock in it. I think it's very contextual, but I understand. So I think he's probably, in the top 12 range. But I thought there were better options on the board. The better options I'm considering of... All right, so before I get to my pick, you're at Andy Reid, Mike Tomlin, LaFleur, D'Amico Ryans, and Kevin Stefanski. While I am at McVay, Kyle Shanahan, John Harbaugh, and Dan Campbell. Now, there's two ways I could go with this in my head. I could go with one of the Kevins and go with Kevin O'Connell. He's only been a head coach for 3 years. Now, he's young, and he's sort of unproven. And, that first year they had in the postseason 2 years ago against the Giants was played well, but it wasn't pretty. And you could blame that on Kirk Cousins if you want, but they went 13-4 that year. You got to win that game. And last year they weren't that great. But this year, I don't think it's any sort of secret how good Kevin O'Connell has done leading that team. But is this a Brian Flores thing? Is this a Darnold resurgence thing? What is it? But Kevin O'Connell, he's under 40. In terms of up and rising, or I could go on the other side, Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills. McDermott's been a head coach for 8 years now, which is concerning that he hasn't been to a Super Bowl. So there's a negative. But in terms of consistent success, think about his record for a second. Ever since he started, he basically got started alongside the Josh Allen experiment. But 9-7, that was with Tyrod Taylor, then Allen gets in the mix. 6-10, 10-6. 13-3, 11-6, 13-3, 11-6, now sitting at 3-1. So he's always in the mix, number one. But to that point, that the Chiefs have been a dark cloud hanging over that team for a number of years. It's a great home field. Team's always ready to play. They don't necessarily need stars to be that effective. They got a good general manager, too, so there's a good pairing there in Brandon Bean. I'm a little struck on this one. But I already have my defensive-minded motivators in my John Harbaughs and Dan Campbells. I think I'm going to go, at the moment, with Sean McDermott. And I give him the edge because O'Connell's a little bit more unproven. I know he's younger, so there's a little more upside. But McDermott's done it with multiple coordinators. I know he's always had Leslie Frazier, but Dable was in and out. Now he's got Joe Brady in there at offensive coordinator. And it was the defensive-minded head coach, but the head coach has something to do with it. He's a motivator. They're always ready to play. He's been lucky with his quarterback. That's another thing. But Sean McDermott.
So I think we've got two different styles of coaches on our teams, and it's very interesting what you prioritize and what I prioritize in a head coach. Outside of Andy Reid, my coaches know how to take whatever they've got and make it work in order to get to the postseason and be successful on their teams, right? Mike Tomlin, obviously he's got the unbelievable record right now of above 500 teams. Matt LaFleur has had a plethora of quarterbacks come through Green Bay, and they still know how to play Green Bay football.
Yeah.
DeMeco Ryans, Kevin Stefanski took two franchises that were absolutely underwater and have now made them relevant again. Your head coaches are just powerhouse playoff teams. Sean McVay.
I put a lot of stock into the postseason success.
You absolutely do. And I take a lot of stock in taking a team from what it was to making it what it is.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of coaches in the league that do well in the regular season. I think it's a different brand of football in the postseason. And that's just my philosophy on it. And in a lot of cases, I don't necessarily need any sort of savant. I need somebody who's a motivator. And sometimes you get best of both worlds in somebody like McVay or Shanahan here and there. But Dan Campbell's a motivator. He's no savant. He's a motivator. Questionable clock management, yes. Questionable going forward on fourth down calls. We know that. But I'd rather have a motivator than a Mike McDaniel who sits there lifeless on the sideline. A motivator. That was our head coach draft. Sunday Huddle, Hard Rock Bet. Colin and Cade. Cade's team, of course, Andy Reid at first overall. Then he went Mike Tomlin at fourth. Matt LaFleur at fifth. And then to finish off his final two picks, he went DeMeco Ryans and Kevin Stefanski for a head coach draft. On the other end, I went Sean McVay, second overall, followed by Kyle Shanahan, John Harbaugh, Dan Campbell, and to finish it off, instead of Kevin O'Connell, I went Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills. Sort of a toss-up for me on that last pick, but I value the postseason success and consistent success at that. It's not easy to win every year in the NFL, and he is putting it together. That was our head coach draft. This is a pretty tight matchup, Kate. I'm going to give you that. It's a pretty tight one.
We've got a whole bunch of winners right now. Like I said, I think the top 10 or 12-ish, I think I would have gone with Kevin O'Connell over Sean McDermott because I think the potential is greater.
Yeah, it's a matter of what you value there.
I think the ceiling for Kevin O'Connell, whether it's in Minnesota or somewhere else, just, I think is a little bit more.
He's just unproven. So that's the one thing with him. That's why I wouldn't take him if I needed a head coach for a year, next year.
You're taking McDermott.
I just off the basis that, this team will be competitive.
Absolutely.
So that I guess consider that part of my philosophy.
Everything changes, though, if McDermott gets a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If he can say that, hey, I got a ring, I eventually got the
Buffalo. Getting to one will change things, too.
For Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo. And especially Minnesota, too. You're talking about two head coaches that have the only two teams in NFL history to go to four Super Bowls and lose all four Super Bowls.
McDermott wins the big one. He thrusts into the top three pretty quickly.
Yes.
Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. On the flip side of things, we'll blitz the book, make our picks of the week, give our player prop parlay. Stick around or take a quick time out. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Huddle up.
66 Hitchhikes Vegas Flair. I'm one ready.
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby. Boom.
Hardest hits. Woo! And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
It's time now to blitz the book. Hard Rock Bet at Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. Colin Russo, Cade Chumsland at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach on ESPN 106.3. Well, you've seen the first few weeks of football season play out. It's time to try your first bet on Hard Rock Bet. Last year, you really couldn't bet on football in Florida until week 14. Well, now with week 5 here, now you can bet on football. So there's so much to get involved in. There's so much to do on the sportsbook at Hard Rock Bet. Each week, you could bet on the touchdown scores, passing yards, other stats, total points, who will win, so much more. You could bet live, play-by-play, up until the final whistle. You could also bet on college football, other sports as well. It's not just exclusive to NFL football. If you don't want to bet a ton of money, put $1 in on a parlay. A Florida bettor last week went 16 for 16, turned a $15 bet into $104,000 in winning. That is absurd. That's what you could do. That's what you could get involved in. That's what can happen on Hard Rock Bet. So many different types of parlays. You could combine bets across multiple games. You could choose bets from the same games. You could bet the same game parlays live, even after the game is already kicked off. If you're not sure what to bet, Hard Rock Bet on the Discover page shows you all the popular parlays, props, picks, and all from all other people are betting on the app. So it's got the sophistication that the experienced player loves, but it's got the simplicity. And it's easy to navigate, and it's easy to get involved that the newer player needs. That's what Hard Rock Bet has. Go get started today. All you got to do is download Hard Rock Bet on the App Store or Google Play Store or go online to hardrock.bet. Once again, try Hard Rock Bet now and get up to $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Your first bet can be a parlay, it can be a prop, it can be an over. Whatever you like to bet, any game you choose, you either win your first bet or get back the same amount you bet paid as a bonus bet. Cade and I will give our picks against the book right now against the whole slate. We'll also give a player prop that we like. They got so many player props to choose from. I got one in that Cleveland-Washington game that I will touch on in a minute. But that was Hard Rock Bet. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. All right, Cade, do you want to start with your player prop with the team? Should we mix it up and do that one first so we could finally win this bet?
Yeah, because we are 0 for 6, I believe. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, either one of my parts of the team player prop have yet to hit this year. And if I choose you as the team portion, more than likely you're going to get blown out because that's what happened. That is what has happened the last 3 weeks in a row. These numbers are changing on Hard Rock Bet all the time. So I'm getting mine updated right now. But do you want to talk? So you want to talk team first or
player
first?
Let's do your player prop. Team parlay first. Let's get this out of the way. Maybe we can change up the mojo.
Let's make it happen. So mine has not changed, so my numbers are still good to go. Let me tell you what, I do think we have a good game in LA for the Green Bay Packers and the Los Angeles Rams, but I think that the Green Bay Packers showed me enough last week in their almost comeback against the Minnesota Vikings to where their offense will be rolling this week against the Rams. Give me the Green Bay Packers minus 3 right now against the Rams. That's my team portion. And then the player parlay. I know we have been talking about the struggles of the Dolphins all morning long, but I do think this is the one time we're going to see another massive play come from Tyreek Hill. His number right now is 47.5. Could you imagine we'd be talking 47.5 for Tyreek Hill? I think today is the day he gets it done. You could see that on one play in the first quarter. Give me the over on Tyreek Hill, 47.5 receiving yards.
So you're going Tyreek, 47.5, and you're going the Green Bay Packers
minus 3. That comes out at plus 250.
All right. I got two stuck in the NFC East, different teams. I'll start with the team on this side for my team player prop. The New York Giants at Seattle. Not an easy game. Everybody knows Lumen Field's a tough place to play, but they're plus 7. Of course, there is the trend of the teams that are 6.5-point plus underdogs that have been terrific against the spread all year, so there's a trend there. Also to the fact that the Giants are missing a couple of players, I understand that, but that long week, and there's something in the water in New York. Mets, Yankees, if the Jets are competitive this morning, there's something in the water in New York. Just got Carl Anthony Towns for the Knicks. Watch this carry over. Watch the Giants stay in the game. Seattle's off a short week. Giants are off a long one. I think the Giants are going to be competitive in this. Plus 7. They don't need to win. Plus 7. Keep it close. Giants plus 7. Another one. He's been a sensation so far. Jaden Daniels, quarterback for the Washington Commanders. They are taking on the Browns today. And the passing yard total for him, 199.5. I'll give me that over on that. Jaden Daniels, of course, did not throw for 200 yards passing in his first game of his career where they lost to Tampa Bay. But in each game after that, 226, 254, 233, high completion percentage, good offense. The Browns stink. I know they like to muddy up games, and that's probably going to be their game plan. But you got to assume that at home, they're coming off two straight road games in which they won them both. I would assume that, and Daniels is going to continue to improve. 200 yards passing. I'm not asking for a lot. I'm not asking for a lot there. $10 to win a $35 bet. That's my player prop. Disclaimer as well. We are not handicappers.
By any means.
We could tell you our record. You don't want to know. But this is what we like this week. It's not good. But if you like the bet and you want to jump, go check it out on Hard Rock Bet and you could come join us. But this is by no means an invitation. This is just letting you know that this is the route we will take in terms of our picks. So I like that. Jaden Daniels, 199.5 passing yards over, parlayed with the Giants, plus 7 at Seattle. You think that changed our mojo a little bit, doing it first?
Maybe. I just don't believe your New York thing is going to continue on in Seattle.
You don't think there's something in the water in New York?
I don't think so.
They're not even in New York.
Yeah. For a Miami fan base that hates everything New York, I'm going to join them in saying your New York isn't going to last the rest of the 24 hours.
There's something in the water in New York. Ride with it. Giants Seattle plus 7. All right. Now it's time to blitz the book. We'll get through this quickly. We're going to go through the entire Sunday slate, pick each game across the spread. Kate and I don't necessarily need to agree. You'd prefer if we did. Let's start in London. Minnesota favored by 2.5 today against the Jets. In Tottenham and London, what do we got?
We talked about how that line is a little closer because of the overseas type of aspect. I don't think it's going to be even close, giving me the Vikings.
I would agree with this. Vikings minus 2.5. I'm done doubting them. I didn't take them last week. Vikings minus 2.5. Baltimore, Cincinnati. In Cincinnati, plus 2.5 in this one. What do you got?
Lamar Jackson is 8-1 against the Bengals. He is undefeated in Cincinnati. Give me the Ravens.
Is he undefeated in Cincinnati?
Yeah.
I'll ride with you on that. Let's go. Baltimore minus 2.5 at Cincinnati. Bills, Texans. Texans at home. Bills plus 1 coming off a tough loss.
Bills blowout. Give me the Bills.
Who's negative Houston Texan fan I've ever met?
I am the realest man you will ever meet. I know when this team is going to win.
I think Buffalo will lose. I think Buffalo will win as well. So I'll take them plus 1. Carolina at Chicago. Minus 4, Chicago's favored. I think this game is a 3-point victory written all over it.
Easy.
On either side.
Or less.
Yeah. So I would take Carolina plus 4.
Yeah, I'll do that as well.
Yeah. Cleveland at Washington. Washington's favored by 3. I'd take Washington in this one.
Absolutely. Not necessarily the blowouts that we've been seeing from Washington, but this should be by 3.
7, yes. Indianapolis at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's favored by 3.5. It's Trevor Lawrence's birthday, and they're wearing the throwback jerseys in Jacksonville. There's what I'll tell you.
No Jonathan Taylor as well. Give me Jacksonville to get their first win.
Joe Flacco.
Okay.
Give me the Colts plus 3.5.
Making fun of me. Then takes the Colts. Okay. I see how it is. What's next?
Miami at New England. New England is a 1.5-point underdog right now listed at home. I would take New England this one.
This is going to be a gritty, gritty game. The line right now is over under 36.5. Give me the under. This is going to be like a 13-10 victory for the Dolphins. I like Miami.
Okay. So we'll split on that. Moving into the 4 o'clock slate, Arizona at San Francisco. Arizona's plus 7 in this one. Now, teams 6.5-point favorites are like 14-5 against the spread.
We have been saying that the Cardinals have been the most underrated
team. Yeah, we're waiting for them to kind of put it all together. They haven't been able to.
They haven't been able to, and this San Francisco team has kind of found a rhythm even without Christian McCaffrey. I like San Francisco in this one.
I would go with that as well, too. Denver, Las Vegas. Denver favored by 2 in Denver. I think Denver will put this together as well.
There has been a theme. I want to find a number that quantifies this. But whenever a star of a team decides to either leave or get hurt, that team somehow does better. I like the Raiders in this one.
Interesting. I'm gonna change my pick just because you said that. Davante Adams, of course, in the trade rumor mill. Green Bay lost the Los Angeles Rams. I'm going to take the Rams in this one. I think they're going to play well before their bye, but I understand why you took Green Bay.
I think they were on the right rhythm to end that game last week against Green Bay, so I'm going to take the Packers.
Finishing off the slate here, two more games. Seattle, Giants. You know what I like. I like the Giants in this one. What do you got?
Seattle's at home. If this game was in New York, I maybe would agree with you, but they're also without Malik Nabers. That place is going to be a riot house for the Seahawks. Give me Seattle.
I think they're
going
to spread the ball a little bit more without Malik Nabers there. Leads the league in targets. Dallas at Pittsburgh. Dallas plus 2.5 tonight. Pittsburgh coming off a loss.
Pittsburgh's defense is going to step up in prime time. The terrible towel will be out across the city. I like the Steelers to come back with a win.
I like Dallas plus 2.5. I think they'll play well. Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. That was Blitz the Book. Fun when we pick all the games against the spread on Hard Rock Bet app. Go check it out. Go see what the picks that we liked. It's been a fun one. Dallas plus 2.5. I think after the long week, I think that they're going to come up ready to play. But it's been a fun one. We send you off into Sunday. Cade, Colin, Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the games, full slate of games, including a London one. Take it easy. Have a good Sunday. We have more time than I anticipated.
Yeah, you got another 40 seconds. You heard the music. See, last week...
The music came in loud, no, so I'm going to give you that.
We had that music last week, none at all, and I wanted to make sure we got it this week. I didn't even touch that dial this week.
That's my mistake.
But we got another 30 seconds
here. Last thing here, I want to touch on this Dallas game really quickly. Dallas is coming off a long week. They played ugly against the Giants. And plus 2.5 is the blueprint out on Pittsburgh a little bit. It's going to be an ugly one, but Dallas just needs the win here. I could see them playing pretty well here. It's been a fun one. Sunday Huddle, an official send-off now. Enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your day. It's been Colin Russo.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.